few minutes. Hallelujah. I'll make sure I don't stay long. As soon as the Holy Ghost says stop, I will just stop. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Since the fan is working now, we should relax. Amen. There's this brother. You saw me on Friday night, Brother William. Is it William or Andrew? I've forgotten your name. You are the one? Stand up, wave your hand. Let them. God bless you. I hope this fan is not too close to you. Raise up your hand, make I see. Okay, thank you. Amen. Praise God. Now, why I remember you, brother, you made a statement that touched me during during the Friday night vigil. He is new in this church. He was a zonal coordinator of a fast-growing church very near this church. Hallelujah. And he left a holiness believing church. Holiness, they go very deep, deeper and deeper in the things of holiness. That's what that church stands for. He left it to come to a church that they believe they are the chosen ones. While he was there, praise the Lord, he still had some unanswered questions concerning salvation. But he had a problem that somebody recommended this church. If he could locate this church, the problem will go. They recommended this church for his problem to go. So he came here one night vigil, and he said from that day, that night vigil, he did not go back to his zonal coordinator work again. Hallelujah. He said that was during our June program last year. From then on, he has been here. Why? Because he had something that he has not had before. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy we have something here? We have something here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The brother had something. He said he didn't even go to hand over. They said, come and hand over now. He has no time to hand over. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the kingdom of God. Oh, we are traveling on the right road. If you will go now, everybody. If you would go don't hinder me. If you would go don't hinder me. If you would go don't hinder me. I'm on my way. Praise the Lord to the glory. I'm on my way. But that's not the aspect that called my attention to what comment I want to make now. Now, he said that when he came here, the only problem he has with this ministry is concerning what we stand for in the ministry of William Marion Braham. And that's where I'm going, the comment. He says, the interesting aspect of it, he said that he learned that I am a Hausa man from a Muslim background. And he knows that Muslims, when they hold on to a man, they go, oh, gagara, gagara, gagara. What is implying is that, hope I have not left Muhammad to hold on to Braham. Hallelujah. Now, and that is one thing, one characteristic of the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One characteristic about them is that they are very curious people. The bride of Jesus Christ is not a follow. The bride of Jesus Christ does not follow the bandwagon. They walk because of a revelation they personally have. Hallelujah. And when they don't catch that revelation on, forget it. No matter what you say, you are wasting your time. That is what makes the difference between the bride and all other Christians. Praise the Lord. And so I loved that. So you've been here for close to 9 months now in this ministry, and you just have not yet understood who is this man, William Braham. Now, but the only pathetic thing about you is that you got so suspicious until you are even scared to investigate who the man is. And so, to play safe, you kept it away. Yet, you believe that what we are saying here is the truth. But the interesting thing is that what we are saying here is all that man spoke. You see? Now, so it's not relevant whether you know William Braham or not. The important thing is the message. The message caught you, brother. The message caught you. That's why you could not go back to your denomination. Hallelujah. All that we preach here in this ministry is the product of that man. They are the sermons, the doctrines that he taught. That is the message. The end time message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I have another brother in the church here. John Akume. Are you here today? You are here? Let me just see you because I've been reading your letters. I've not seen your face. I just want to at least see your face. Where can I put my glass? Where? Thank you very much. Are you a member of this church? You're a member of this church? For how long? Put on the microphone. For how long? Oh, you have been here for 1 month. 1 month now. 1 month. Sorry, just by way of this. From where did you come? From where? From which church? Talk to me.
I came from a Bible Doctrine Ministry.
Bible
Doctrine Ministry for Rudia Papa. Yeah.
Bible Doctrine Ministry. Are you still a member of that church?
No.
Why did you leave that church?
There are certain things I saw there. Their foundation is not on the doctrine of Christ and not on the apostles also.
Before you got to that church, where were you?
Yeah. I am now living at
which church were you before you got to that church?
I'm from a Catholic church.
From Catholic church?
Yes.
Why did you leave the Catholic Church?
It is God that called me from there because Catholic Church, I was a catechist to the level that I saw what is happening there. And that is why God called me out from Catholic Church to go and be for the second coming.
Sorry, when you say God brought you out, how did he bring you out?
Yes. When I was a catechist, there are so many revelations God gave it to me. And what I saw in the Catholic Church observations is not according with the word of God. And I decided, where can I go if I leave the Catholic Church?
Okay.
Before God delivered me from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it God that showed you that Bible doctrine church?
No. I pray to God that I want God to show me the way I worship Him.
Yes.
In spirit and truth. Yes. But within that place I live, I couldn't go somewhere to go. But through one man that preached in the bus, that gave me track, that made me to know, locate the show that called Bible Doctrine Ministry.
Okay.
That's where I was baptized, in the mansion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how did you find this church?
Yes. It was last year, I packed out from that very way I live in to Badore side. So waiting when I'm living there, I couldn't get the church to worship. And I joined the CPN church there. Their doctrine and their foundation, I couldn't understand. I tried there within 6 months. I left that place because on last year, December, I went to mountain and began to pray to God. Say, God, direct me where I will worship with the people that know you and stand on your word. So it happened throughout the January month, I didn't go to church. And the worst part that I couldn't get the money to come to bride, I'd be hearing the bride. With one woman that is staying with me at Auto Pass, I asked her that I want to come to bride at Assembly Church. That throughout the January, I never get to any church. And there's nowhere my man raised to worship except this place. But the problem I had that I don't have the transportation money to come here. He says, that all? I say yes. So she gave me and that's what I hear.
Hey. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, he didn't give you 3,000. He didn't give you 1,000. He gave you how many thousand?
2,000.
Does it mean anything to anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, and you found this place.
Yes.
And from the look of things, you are still studying this place.
I'm not studying it any longer. What I saw here is 99% and memoir.
Praise the Lord.
Allah,
so it's remaining 1%.
Yes. Memoir.
But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know that 1%, if it is the truth, and it is you are owing for tithe before we bury you. Praise the Lord. So there's no problem. The only thing is, we believe that it is a Bible doctrine for prosperity. It's a Bible doctrine. Hallelujah. It is a Bible doctrine for prosperity. I'm telling you, there was a difference between Lazarus and Abraham. Hallelujah. I don't want to go too far. My time is gone. But I want to assure you that there is the only way you will prosper as a Christian is to follow the biblical principles for prosperity. One of the given you must give is tithe. I took time during the vigil and I made some comments on it. If you get the tape, Brother John, for the sermon I preached during the vigil, you will get the explanation there. Now, coming back to my brother William, right? About the man William Braham. You are correct. You are correct. That it's good to be careful. But, you know, the world of information now has been made so simple that it's very easy for you to know all that pertains to anybody. See, if you want to know anything, including me, anything that has been recorded by way of news or anything in anywhere before, and it is in the internet, I was surprised that I typed my name, search Pastor Moses Alu, and I saw so many places that came out where things concerning me have been mentioned in the internet. You see? So also, William Braham, such a man, you can type, you will hear from the enemies, and you will hear from those who believe him. Everything is there. So sit down. But I can assure you, praise the Lord, that though I come from some Muslim religious dominated home, I was not a serious Muslim. Amen. I was into religion, was not my problem. God was not my problem. I was just living my life. Of course, when you are small, you are forced to do some things. But once I grew up, I went my way. I don't follow them the way they follow, they do it. Praise the Lord. So I was not some fanatical Muslim that changed and brought the fanaticism to Christianity, like Apostle Paul. No, I was not. I had no time for God. I just thought that life consisted of just enjoy yourself, look for money, drink beer, ride fine car, travel anywhere you like to travel around the world, carry the best women you can afford. Just live your life. Sleep, wake up. Nobody reminded me that it is written, every man shall give account. Nobody reminded me that if I die today, I will meet my maker and he will tell me, what was my purpose for sending you to the world? I will tell him, I didn't even know, say you get purpose for me. So, no answer. You'll be here since June last year. So you'll be hearing me say this over and over and over. Yes, now Luke 10:22. John 6:44. No man can come to Christ except the Father that sent Christ draw you to him. Now, if you study the Bible and you truly study, not just read the Bible, these are the kind of scriptures, when you read, you will pause. You will pause. No one can come to Christ except the Father draw you. Why I say you will pause? It means all those who die without Christ, God didn't call them. It's God that didn't make them to know him. That is what that scripture means. But then you will be confused. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed, it makes it look as if salvation is for everybody. Yet another scripture is saying you can't come to Christ unless the Father unless the Father draw you to him. And yet another scripture, Christ stood there and said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And it looks as if he's begging you, come now, come now, come now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, why I say so is because the program of salvation is totally 100% God's own business. And if it is his business, he has a program. So what God should help you to understand is to understand God's program for salvation. God's program for salvation. And that is why I took time here for weeks last year, and I preached the message I titled The Divine Timetable. Now, in the divine timetable, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The divine timetable, we started from before the beginning. I don't know if you understand my language. There was a time that there was no beginning. Praise the Lord. There was a time that there was no time. Do you understand? Hallelujah. There was a period that there was no time, because God has no beginning. He has no end. So you, how old will you say, how old is God? Hebrews chapter 7 told us who Melchizedek was. He said he had no beginning nor ending of days. He has no birthday. That's our God. That's the God we worship. That's why he will remain mysterious. He will continue to remain mysterious. Now, in the divine timetable, we went from John chapter 1 went beyond Genesis chapter 1. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That beginning that was with God was a beginning before Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Hallelujah. What is it? In the beginning, that word there, in the beginning was a thought. In the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. And the thought was God. The Bible says, and the thought became flesh. Praise the Lord. Where did he become flesh? In the womb of the Virgin Mary. The word became thought. Became flesh in the womb and was born. And we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of glory. Which thought, before Adam was created, hallelujah, before Adam and Eve were created, did God know that the serpent will tempt them and they will fall? In the beginning was the thought. That's what I'm trying to explain. Before Adam was ever formed, God, who knows tomorrow from today, he knew that animal will cause his people to fall. And he knew that death would be imputed to all human beings, the seed of Adam. And so, before he even created Adam and Eve, he has already made provision of how he will save them. In the beginning was the thought. The thought of how he will save the fallen race, even before he created the race that we fall. That is our God. That is the doctrine of eternal security. That is the doctrine of predestination. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then you understand other scriptures that also confirm this. I am not teaching on that. I want my brother and all others to understand that I have not left Muhammad to hold on to Abraham. Praise the Lord. Now listen, church. The plan, hallelujah, to bring back man back to that estate that God has intended was already in the mind of God. How he will do it, how he will achieve it, how he will do everything. God, before he created Adam, he saw how that he will use flood and wipe away the whole world. He will pick Noah and start again. He will see how even after Noah, they will all go the way they will go. He will come and pick Abraham. And then he will have a covenant with that man. All this was in his mind before he created Adam and Eve. What is prophecy? Prophecy is history in advance. Hallelujah. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a child. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, that child was already in the mind of God before Adam was created, even before the world was created. And remember, this world, this earth, is millions of years old. Praise the Lord. Even before this earth was created, millions of years gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God already know my name. Eh? Millions of years ago, God knew your name. Millions of years ago, God knew that today you'll be sitting down here. Praise the Lord. Oh, that is the God we serve. Now, he has the program. He has designed the program. He came in another period and sent his angel to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 and told Daniel history again in advance. 70 weeks determined upon thy people. He told them what will happen 490 something years ahead. And he told them when the Messiah will come and when he will be cut off. And told them up till he began to tell them, he told Daniel to a certain level, he left him, took Apostle Paul, showed him another one to another level, hallelujah, brought Jesus Christ to, showed him again to another level, and then reserved John the Beloved, hallelujah. They got him to the island of Patmos, and then he showed him the rest. Up till the white throne judgment. That is all he showed John Richo. After the white throne judgment, he never tell us anything again because life continues. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, part of this program, Brother William, part of this program, before the foundation of the world, while he went to have a covenant with Abraham and his seed, he also had the plan to also bring the whole world, the Gentiles, into it. Because he knew that the Jews would reject Jesus Christ. So he made provision, he reserved Apostle Paul and the rest to use them to bring the light to us. When the 69th week out of the 70 weeks of Daniel, 69th week was fulfilled by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, he suspended it. He suspended dealing with the Jews. And he turned to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. And when he came to the Gentiles, like I spoke on Friday night, the gospel is not going to stay with us forever. It's for a particular period. And it will end in the rapture. Praise the Lord. It will end in the rapture. When the rapture strikes, salvation is over for the Gentiles. And that's why this is the time now to make your calling and election sure. During the Navigi, we calculated how many years more according to the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, of times and seasons, you have no need that anybody should tell you again. Because the church will not know. No man knows the day nor the hour. Jesus Christ says so. Not even him, Jesus, knows, but the Father. Only the Father knows that day that the rapture will strike. But the season, he said, we will know. He gave us key for us to know this is the season, this is the season. And right now we are in the season. Church, right now, this is the season. Hallelujah. And knowing the season is part of the ministry of William Henry Umbrah. Hallelujah. Knowing the season. And during the Friday night vigil, we made a calculation. Those of you who don't come for Bible study on Friday, we speak more, we have more time to do Bible study than Sundays. Very soon now we close. But during the Navigi, we have the whole night, so we can talk and talk and talk. So you better go get the messages if for any reason you cannot come for vigil. But let me tell you this. We calculated it and we saw that it is, if you calculate from AD 70, it is remaining just about 31 years. That between now, is it 31, 37 years? 37 or 31.7 or something like that. We calculated it. From now. And when we said 31 years, he didn't say he will come after 31 years. He will come within this 31 years period. And I spoke again during the vigil. There is a tendency, if we calculate, we say it's 37 years more or 31 years more. That there is a tendency to say, ah, it's still remaining 37. Ah, then make person relax now. See, it's remaining 30 something. It's not coming tomorrow. But I said also that concerning the coming of the Lord, we are expecting his immediate coming now. It's coming through two ways. The one that is coming for the rapture is 31 years' time. But the one that he will come through the grave, it can be today. That is why he said the day or the hour. No man knows the day he will die. I remember the rapture will come, some people will go through the grave. He said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be changed in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In a moment, the twinkle of an eye will be changed. And then we will join those who came out of the grave and will meet the Lord in the air. So some of us, we come to the rapture through the grave. So how do you know which one will be your own? That's why it's foolish for you to say, I still remain 30 years. And then you say, ah, and that's okay. When it remains like 2 years, then I will be serious. God is wiser than that. You are the type that he will come for you before the time reaches. May you not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. The gospel left according to the divine timetable. The gospel left the Jews and came to us here. And it is going to stay with us here according to the Bible for how many years? 2,000 years. Get the tapes where I prove all this. 2,000 years. After the 2,000 years, and this 2,000 years is divided into 7 church ages. Through 7 church ages, We also proved it in the scriptures. And each age of these seven church ages was spoken symbolically in Revelation chapter 1, in Revelation chapter 2, and chapter 3. Those seven churches in Asia, from Ephesus and the rest, Smyrna and the rest, up to Laodicea, seven churches. In those local churches there, there were characteristics there that we are going to prefigure what every age of those seven church ages we go through. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, pointed Jesus Christ holding seven stars in his hand and seven golden candlesticks. Seven candlesticks. And verse 20 of Revelation chapter 1 gave us the interpretation. Remember, the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. God purposely wrote that so that only his own will understand. It is a love letter to the bride. Only the bride. That is the only book he closed to all of them. No matter what doctor of divinity you receive, there is nothing in that doctorate degree that can make you understand the book of Revelation. Praise God. And that's why they are as confused as anything. God deliberately did it. And he said, those seven stars, church, listen, those seven stars, they are the messengers to those seven churches. The candlesticks, they are those churches. A candlestick types church, in case you see it in your revelation, in a dream, a vision, whatever it is, it symbolizes a church. When you see candlestick, you are praying for your church. And then all of a sudden, you see candlestick appear before you and the light went up. That is telling you, you are a church without light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now listen. I want to shorten this thing. Now, the Bible tells us that these seven stars, we are messengers, letting us know that throughout these seven church ages, each age we have age. The Bible says in Matthew 16, Jesus Christ said, "Build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What is the gate of hell? Once the church of Jesus Christ started, Satan immediately stepped in there to cause confusion. He has the spirit of error to cause confusion. But in that age, there will be a man. It is leadership. God has never left his church without the leadership. When they came out of Egypt, the Bible referred to Israel as the church in the wilderness. There was a leader. When Moses left, Joshua took over. There has never been Israel without a leader appointed by God himself. Amen. Hallelujah. And so also it is. In the first church age, this grace age, the first apostle to the Gentile church age was Apostle Paul. God called him by himself. Praise the Lord. And on. Now, it is Bible history now. It's Bible history. Praise the Lord. Bible history that makes us know who is the lead messenger among all the preachers on that age. There is a standard. The beginning, the standard is Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul laid the foundation. He said, "We lay the foundation." Ephesians 2 verse 20 says, "We are built upon the foundation of the apostles." Now, they laid the foundation, and he said, "If any man preaches any other thing contrary to what we preach, let him be accursed." Therefore, he became the foundation and the reference point. So, in that next age, you want to look at, among all the preachers, who is closest to Apostle Paul? That is where you pick the leader for that age. And on and on and on and on. till we come to this seventh church age. Now, when we come to this seventh church age, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When God calls a man, he vindicates him. He stands by him. When God calls a man, he stands by him. He will do something to let the whole world know, I am with this man. Depending on what he has called. Look, church. God, when God calls you, especially in the area of leadership, when he calls you and you are to lead a group, whatever group, depending on what type of group you have, whatever group you have, he will do something that among the whole of that group, hallelujah, everybody will know by what God will do that all of us here, that this man, God don't show beyond all of us, all the rest, and the rest will now line up with him. So, even from a local church like this, if God has called a pastor in the church, if he's the one called, because you may be pastor of a church and now you appoint yourself. Hallelujah. Self-appointed. But if it is God that has called you, he will do something that every other person in that church will know, this is our leader. Not him saying, you must follow me or you die cockroach death. No, not that type of thing. No. You must follow me. You must follow me. If you don't follow me, what I'm telling you now, if you don't believe that I am the most senior prophet, Moses Alu, if you don't follow me like that, you will not go to rapture. No man of God talks like that. When the showdown came at Mount Carmel, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The God that answered it by fire, let him be the God. Before a man will stand before those people and speak like that, he's sure of his calling. He's sure of his calling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. William Branham had that same heavenly vindication. He had heavenly vindication. Hallelujah. We know the story of that baptismal service he had in Ohio River in 1933. It specifically recorded that when he was baptizing the 17th person, it was a baptismal service with hundreds of people by the riverside. What baptism? He was telling the denomination that the baptism they were baptizing was wrong. And he was now doing the correct thing. Baptism in the name of the while that service was going on, suddenly a star appeared from the sky. I have personally met people, or one or two people, I've met two people now, who were by the riverside when that thing happened. One of them is dead now. I think one is still alive. And he said something. Hallelujah. I don't know. It's long I heard from them. But he said he was there. Everybody was running helter-skelter. They've never seen that type of thing before. The pillar of light came and stood on William Branham's head in the middle of the water. And a voice spoke as John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming. So are you given the message that shall forerun my second coming? It is documented. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The emphasis is the message. The emphasis is the message. The message that shall forerun my second coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, when he said the message that shall forerun my second coming, the anything, every objectively thinking person, the next question that should come to your mind is, what is the message? Some people are saying, a lie. You know, William Brown, a lie, a lie. What's wrong with you? What is the message? Ha! I preached the story, the sermon, about, I titled, Running Without a Message. Ahimas. There are people that are running with microphone. No message. the son of a king, there is a special way you will deliver that message. Who will go and tell the king? He must jump up and say, I will. They look and say, you can't now. You don't have any tidings for the king. Sit down. They call the person that will go and deliver the message. And anybody that appoints himself, hallelujah, you will mess up the message. And so many preachers of this message of William Branham are self-appointed, therefore they have messed up the message. Some of them are just mere lecturers speaking big grammar and saying they are preaching the message. A message that was presented by a man that did not go to school, William Branham. Somebody is speaking big grammar to explain it. Fishermen like Peter wrote Bible. People are going to get doctor of divinity to explain what a fisherman wrote. Praise the Lord. God appears always in simplicity. Hallelujah. Wherever you want to see God, anytime God is about to do a mighty thing, he will come so simple, people will miss him. Who will believe that the King of Kings, the Messiah of Israel, will come and he will be born in a manger? That was what the Pharisees and Sadducees did not accept. If we are born in a king's house, who is his father? Carpenter. Somebody's listening to me now. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to understand this God. If not, you will miss him. You miss him. If you pick the sermon tapes of William Branham, if this is the grammar you are listening to, you will drop it. You will drop it. You say, what did this man they talk now? The English now. Now. You will drop it. But if you take your time to read, you will soon discover, the man they say something here. He says something. But his grammar now be the problem. And to show that it's that same God of William Branham we are serving. In this same church here, those that God is using, they go any school. Tell Brother Dayo to write a note for you. You go see English there. Yeah, tell Brother Dayo, Prophet Dayo, to write English for write note for you for English. You don't know whether not Chinese or Hebrew, nothing they write. But if he tell you, thus said the Lord. With that nyama English, if you like, listen. If you like, not listen, it will surely come to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, listen, church. Amen. Now, William Branham, that same light that came upon him, it was a vindication. Telling the whole world, hallelujah, that I have commissioned him. And remember that by that time already the whole world was following him. Mighty miracles, signs and wonders were already taking place. He had the vindication to show to the whole world, because his ministry was to the whole Christian world. Therefore God lifted him up above all other ministers in the anointing, in the depth of revelation, and in the simplicity of God. In all humility, to demonstrate that there was God with him. In his burial service, funeral service, I read what T.L. Osborne wrote. He made a profound statement there. He said, let the whole world know that we preach Christ, but this man lying down here in this coffin, he lived Christ. It's written there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know, that was the popular saying of William Branham. William Branham will see you and say, don't preach me Christ. He said, live me Christ. He said, your life, preaches better gospel than you explaining scripture to anybody. And he demonstrated it. Somebody that, as you are sitting down there, he knows your thoughts. He will tell you. And he boasted. He said, I have given over 200, that was about 1960-61. He said, I have given over 200,000 prophecies and visions. He said, tell me one that did not come to pass. You see? Praise the Lord. And yet, I was looking at that man. What killed him? At the age of over 50 years old, he was driving himself. Anytime I read the story, I say, see, has this man go kill himself? He was driving, 1965. And then in the night, a trailer was coming with one eye. He thought na motorbike they come. And he ran straight at the drunkard. It was a drunk that was driving that truck. So he didn't know that it was a truck coming and it was a head-on collision. But even for God to let the whole world know, say, it is his time to come home. He has finished his ministry. You know, he was with his wife and his son was behind. Hallelujah. He was the only one that died. The wife also was, you know, jammed in it. And the son was crying, daddy, mommy, daddy, mommy. The son is still alive now. Joseph Abraham. And then he said, he was there, his everything, he was gone. And he just shouted, Joseph, he said, can you lift my hand and place it on your mommy? He lifted the hand and placed it on the mommy. The mother came back to life. Hey, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. They drag him to the hospital. The record is there. They drag his dead body to the hospital. In the emergency ward where they rush him, everybody there receive healing instantly. The dead there in the emergency there came back to life. But he still died because it was his time. The last vindication. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They gathered 400 of them, Pentecostal ministers, to prove that William Branham was wrong in his doctrine. They brought a photographer to snap him. And when they were snapping him those photographs, while every one of them came one by one, maybe one of them came to preach against tithes, Brother John. Maybe another one came again against water baptism. Maybe another one came again against Godhead. Remember, they were doctors of divinity. So they were coming with their escapology. They were coming with their Greek and Hebrew lexicons to give the right interpretation to the Greek interpretation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the photographer was snapping them. Then it remained only one exposure. One more shot, the last one for the film to finish. And that was when William Branham came to talk to them. That day, I read the story. William Branham said he came to the pulpit. He said, one more time. That was all he said. If there be anyone one more time that has any scripture here that you can show me I have broken by my doctrine, let that person come with the Bible and stand by my left. He said, that angel was standing there. He said they knew better not to come out. Because if they had come out, hey, that angel was angry with them. Hallelujah. He said the whole place went silent. William Brown said, if you drop a pin on the floor, you will hear the sound of the pin by how dead the silence was. That was when that photographer snapped him. The last shot. When he went to develop those negatives, he discovered that all that he snapped wiped out. Only that one that he snapped, William Branham. Hallelujah. And what he discovered, Gabriel, are you following me? Sheila, are we together? That is the picture you are seeing on the screen. Then, as they went through, as they went, he noticed that pillar of light on top of William Branham. And William Branham said, praise the Lord. They argued it among themselves in America. They argued it. They say it's a reflection. They say it's a reflection. They therefore took it to the FBI, the director of questionable documents, to use their gadgets to confirm whether this is an object or a reflection. And then the man came out with the report, and it is in our sermon books and it's everywhere, and came out and said, this is certainly not a reflection, but the photograph of a supernatural object. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Until today, there is the American Hall of Religious Fame. Any religion, and you've done any mighty thing, they will carry that thing you did and hang it there for the record, like a museum. William Branham, this picture is hanging there as the first supernatural object photographed by science. That is one vindication. Another vindication, hallelujah, in 1963, the angels of God came when it was time for the opening of the seals. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 6, a book that has been closed, nobody has gone through that place before. And the angels, seven angels came when there was an earthquake around, announcing their presence. They were witnesses. But here alone, of course, we see the angels. They came and told him he should go back home. It was time for the opening of the seals. And that is part of the highlight of his ministry. Because it is when the seal was opened, which was actually the opening of the world. That was the third pool. I have explained those pools before. Now, as those seven angels were going back, they went up there and formed a cloud up. And when they formed that cloud up, a journalist from the town saw that cloud and looked and said, at that distance, that height, that cloud, a cloud cannot be formed there. That must be a mystery cloud. He snapped the photograph in a magazine they called the Life magazine. And it was all about town the next day that a supernatural cloud appeared over America. And when they brought the picture to William Branham, he saw, he said, that is what this picture of those, the cloud formed by those angels. As he was looking at those pictures, at the cloud, the picture of the cloud, the Holy Ghost spoke to him that he should turn the picture clockwise. As he turned it like this, it was the face of Jesus Christ. Live, the pictures appear. This Jesus has appeared for the whole world. One more time. That is the picture of the cloud. You turn it. That is the picture there as turned clockwise. His position as turned. That is how it was turned. After it was turned, that is what gives you. That is his hair. The white part. The white part of can you show us again? The white part of that white cloud there. That is the hair. Praise the Lord. Can you show us that again, please? Hallelujah. That was and it looks like a story now, but it was real. That is his hair. Hallelujah. If you look at the picture upwards, by the right, that is the full picture as drawn. It was drawn by Hoffman. And William Branham said, Hoffman was an artist. William Branham said, of all the artists that have drawn the picture of Jesus, he said, it is the one drawn by Hoffman that is the only one, the closest one that resembles what he saw of the several times that Jesus Christ appeared before him. And that is why we, in the entire message of all the pictures of Jesus Christ, that is the one we adopt. That is the true picture of who Jesus is. And if you look at the picture to the left, up, to the left, up, if you turn it, you can see the face appear there like that. And that white something there, Revelation chapter 1 describes how he appeared with his hair as white as wool. a vindication that God has visited this earth again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And after that, the angels were coming to him, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. For 7 days, I was telling him what each seal meant. And what those seals meant is what produced you and I today. To come out of those denominational systems. He opened our eyes. Hallelujah. That's why we sing that song. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Oh, praise the Lord for the original life. Oh, the original life and the original seed.
Yes, sir.
The original word is what I believe. The Son of Man
is revealed.
The seventh seal.